Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
It is, in some ways, a strange truth. In the same places in our world today where you can find the greatest pain, there is also to be found the greatest hope. Today on the road, a special look at the nation of Uganda, a land that has been torn by war, disease, terror, and poverty. And yet, a place where hope never died, and where today, the message of Jesus is spreading in astounding ways. Later this hour, we'll meet Catherine Hines. A season of tragedy brought her to a moment of decision that transformed her life and saw her move full-time to build a remarkable ministry in Uganda. We'll discover how she and her team are changing the lives of countless young people in meeting needs both physical and spiritual. But first, on the road today, we meet a young man who grew up in a missionary family and spent time in Mexico, Guatemala, Haiti, Uganda, and across the U.S., serving the less fortunate. Tyler Holte's journey of faith also includes a season of rebellion, when a 10-year battle with alcoholism led him far from the mission field and the church. But he found recovery through Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and a groundbreaking faith-based transitional housing facility called Serenity Village. Then he met a man whose work for the hurting in Uganda inspired him deeply and led him to a new work. Today, he serves as the U.S. National Director for a nonprofit organization called Peace Together Uganda. And Tyler takes us inside the story of why this is a nation in such pain in so many ways.
The country of Uganda has suffered a great deal, both from corrupt leadership dating back to Idi Amin and dating up to, in a lot of people's opinions, their current administration. And in addition to that, they've also experienced about 30 years of civil war at the hands of Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army, which, if anyone knows anything about that, it's one of the most violent and brutal campaigns in human history. And he really set out to just destroy the entire countryside. And if you lived in northern Uganda throughout the last 35 years, then you have been affected by the war and by what Joseph Kony has done. And so Uganda has suffered a lot, and they've really been through a lot, and they're hurting and in many ways. So
the actual demographics have been substantially altered by the violence and by AIDS to a large mm-hmm. degree, I understand. There's almost a missing generation in some ways, right?
Yeah, and also one of the main, once Joseph Kony started losing support for his campaign, one of his main tactics was that he would go into villages and he would kidnap, an estimate that they've given is around 30,000 children that he kidnapped and forced into child soldiering. And what really happened is that the entire population was forced into IDP or internally displaced persons camps. And so when you're in those camps, especially for a largely agricultural society, and you're forced off your land and into these IDP camps where you're living in extremely close quarters. And the children that were abducted were forced to endure extremely terrible things that that just baffle the mind when you think of the evil that one person can commit towards another individual. And so those children really are the ones that survived are extremely damaged, and the ones that were forced into the IDP camps, a lot of them were not allowed to go to school and missed out on a lot of different things. And once they were in the IDP camps, there wasn't healthcare and there wasn't proper sanitation, and so disease just ran rampant through those camps. And so in a lot of ways, one of Joseph Kony's tactics, I believe, is to steal the generation, to steal hope from an entire population of northern Ugandans.
Man. Well, it's a stark reality that you paint for us, but Of course, there's so much hope in this story as well. Mm-hmm. Through Peace Together Uganda. I wonder for you personally how your heart for this ministry came to be, and I want to ask you that in a second. But first, how does the ministry work? It seems to be a pretty holistic effort in the sense that you're feeding people, you're mm-hmm. offering them educational opportunities, employment, vocational opportunities, and much more. Talk a little bit about the day-to-day, how it works.
Well, one of the things that we really focus on, for us, a major focus is the next generation, the children of northern Uganda. And so for us, the starting point is meeting the most basic needs, because we know that if children aren't fed and if they're starving, it's very difficult for them to go to school and to learn. It's very difficult for them to dream and to even picture a life different than what they know. So the first thing is that we are blessed to have a partnership with Feed My Starving Children. And very recently we started our feeding program in Pajule, a small village in northern Uganda, and that's just having a tremendous impact. And so our first goal is to get the kids fed. We also have a scholarship program. Many of the children in northern Uganda can't afford to go to school, especially there's not a high importance placed on educating young girls over there. And so a big part of our scholarship program is in making sure that the young girls of Uganda have a future and that they're educated. We have several economic building activities. As I said, many of the villages were just destroyed, and along with that, the economy and the crops and everything like that. And so a big part of what we're trying to do is to rebuild an economy. And so we have several different things. We have a pig farm that we run over there. We have a grain mill, and we have some other things that we do. And that allows us to pay for some of the ministry ventures that we're in, but it also allows us to employ Ugandans and to put people back to work and to build a stronger economy. And then the last thing is, and this kind of encapsulates everything that we do over there, is just bringing the community together and allowing them to heal together and to come together and to really focus on the next generation and to focus on change and what God can do when we all come together.
So many people have speculated, have observed that in ministry like this, to be able to make that spiritual difference, you first have to come to a place where people are hungry, where they are not hungry anymore, where they have food in their bellies, where their mm-hmm. needs are met. Do you find that to be the case, that before the gospel can go out, that you first have to step into the community, mm-hmm. be alongside these people, and start meeting these needs?
Yeah, absolutely. We one of the reasons that we do try to meet the physical needs is that, and first of all, there's a tremendous hunger for the gospel in Uganda. I think that following tragedies like what we've seen in Uganda, and if you look throughout history, anytime there's been large-scale tragedies of this magnitude, what we see often is that if men and women are willing to go in and boldly proclaim the gospel, there's a hunger there, because the people are suffering and they're looking for answers and they're looking for hope. And, you know, we know that we have the answer in Jesus Christ, and that sometimes that's the only way that any of this makes sense.
Yeah.
But in addition, we're not going in there to preach at people or to try to convert people until they've seen the attributes of Christ. And so we try to be the hands and feet of Christ before we ever talk to them. And what we see is that when they see that we're there to help them and that we're there to feed the children and to make sure that they have a brighter future, they crave that the gospel, and they want to hear about Jesus, and they come to us and ask us questions about why we're doing what we're doing. And so that makes evangelizing so much easier, that we don't have to go out and round up people and try to talk to them. They come to us because they know why we're there, and they know our hearts. So
it's like the very embodiment of that great quote by St. Augustine: preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words.
Amen.
Where does your heart specifically for this ministry come from? We mentioned your background a little bit. Maybe just take us through the story of how your heart was shaped for this, and mm-hmm. how you came together with the folks who were originating this great ministry of Peace Together Uganda.
Sure. Well, Peace Together Uganda was founded in 2007 by Father Leoncio Akena. He's a Catholic priest over there who loves Jesus with all of his heart, and he truly is a man after his own heart. And in 2011, I had a good friend named Morgan who kind of knew my background and that I had been involved in missions and things like that in the past. And she said, you got to get over to Uganda and you got to meet Father Leoncio. And so we went over there, and I met a man who was intelligent. He was educated. He was charismatic, and he had a heart for the people of Uganda. And he from a young age, he remembers praying that God would use him as an instrument of love to the people of northern Uganda. And so it was really through meeting Father Leoncio and seeing the passion that he has for his people. He's had many opportunities to be a professor in Rome and to work at the Vatican and to do lots of different things. But he believes that his call is to his people. And he grew up in Pajule throughout the time of Joseph Kony, and he lived through that, and he was greatly affected. His family was greatly affected, and he just believes that his calling is to his people. And so in 2011, I got to meet him for the first time, and through his passion and his vision, I really just caught the bug, and I've been supporting him ever since. And in the last year or two, I've really had, God has really opened some doors for us to get involved in a larger scale and to really support them and what he's doing in his vision on a larger scale. So it's been a blessing to see God just continue to open doors for us over there.
Tyler Holte is with us. He's the National Director of Peace Together Uganda here in the U.S., and just a remarkable story of hope in a very, very real, a very, very a needful situation in the country of Uganda, specifically northern Uganda, here today on the road. And I know that it can be easy in a situation where there's so much need to look at a scenario and say, well, why am I even going to start to do something? Because I can't solve this problem. Mm-hmm. I can't fix this problem. In your perspective, as someone who sees this, you know, on a daily basis, who knows this need so well, what is the vision of the change that you hope to see? And perhaps as well, maybe just share some stories with us about what it is like to see one life changed.
You know, God doesn't call us to, he doesn't expect us to have all the answers. And I've heard it said that God doesn't call the equipped. And in the Bible, it says that remember where you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. And that's certainly the case with me and with many of the people that work with me with Peace Together Uganda. But what we've learned is that God always equips those that he calls. And one of the things that I love about Jesus is that whenever he saw suffering, whenever he saw hurting, he always responded. And so that's kind of the model that we've tried to emulate. And we just get involved, we just show up, and God shows up in powerful ways. And when we get outside of ourselves and get past our own weaknesses and our own limitations and just make ourselves available to be used by God, he shows up in powerful ways, and his grace is always sufficient for us. And we make mistakes, and we drop the ball sometimes, but God always shows up in powerful ways and works it out. And it's been a true blessing just to be a part of what God is doing over there. And that truly is what it is. It's a move of God that he's doing it, and we're just blessed to be a part of it. There are, especially with the youth in Uganda, it's been amazing to see as we get behind them and as we work with them and as we get them enrolled in school and as we watch them begin to blossom. That truly is the hope that we have for change. And we don't seek to feed more kids in Uganda. We seek to end hunger in northern Uganda. And we don't desire to put more kids in school in northern Uganda. We desire to have it be that every child in northern Uganda has the opportunity to be educated. Because we truly believe, and I've seen it firsthand in sitting with those children over there, that that's where the change happens, because they are passionate, they are intelligent, they are extremely hardworking. They've been through incredible hardship, but they've endured through it, and they're better for it and stronger for it. And so I've sat with the kids and with tears in their eyes and tears in my eyes, listened to their stories of what they've been through. And then I always ask them, what is your dream? And it's amazing that so many of their dreams are focused on how they can help their communities. And when when a young girl says, I want to be a doctor, it's because she sees people who are unable to get to see doctors, and people who are still injured from the war, or people who are going through disease, and she wants to help out her community. And when a young boy says, I want to be a teacher, it's not for his own gain. It's so that he can educate the next generation, and so that he can be a part of the change in Uganda. And so it's awesome just to see their hearts and to know that so many of them, their dreams extend far beyond their circumstances, and they're extremely giving. And all of the kids that we help out and that we support, they always come back and they want to help the next kids, and they want to mentor the next group of young people. So it's truly a blessing just to be a part of it.
That was Tyler Holte, U.S. National Director of this tremendous organization. If you would like to experience more of what PTU does, you can search PTU on Facebook or visit peacetogetheruganda.org. That's peacetogetheruganda, one word, .org on the web. And while there, you can learn more, help financially, or discover opportunities to take a service trip to Uganda, and much, much more. Our special On the Road trek this week continues now with another transformational tale, but this time the road to international ministry begins in tragedy. Catherine Hines was a successful Colorado businesswoman when she began to walk through a painful period of loss in her life, losing a number of people she was very close to. On the heels of that grief, she found herself at a Billy Graham crusade, where she rededicated her life to Jesus and clearly felt led to revive a passion that had been on her heart for years. She knew it was time to go to Africa. But before she could pack up and move her life across an ocean, Catherine explains the fears and trepidations she first had to overcome.
I think the obstacles were people were like, you're crazy, you're really going to do this, and what are you thinking? Maybe she needs to get some counseling. Yeah. And I was scared too. I mean, it wasn't, but at the same time, a part of me was excited, trusting God. I did not go into it blindly. I knew what I was going into. I'd done a lot of reading and research, and having gone there for 3 weeks first, and it was not an easy obstacle, but it was just faith and trusting God.
Talk a bit about the path from arriving in Uganda to connecting to the needs around you and beginning to take the steps towards serving those needs. Was it a challenge to find effective ways to help people?
Yes, it was. It was a challenge. And not really certain. I knew God was taking me there, not really certain how he was going to use me or what capacity. I knew it had to do with working with children, but it also, you end up working with all the people around you, can't help it. And it was a challenge. The culture is very different, and different languages, but the main language is English. The official language is English, which that helped. There's always someone who knows English that can interpret for you.
Wow.
And that helped a lot. The one thing that made it easy for me, Ryan, was that people were open to the gospel. They would actually put out their best chair for you to sit under a tree and listen to the gospel as you share, which I did not encounter when I would share the gospel here in the inner city or around New York or whatever. I didn't find people who were really interested once in a while, but rare.
What do you attribute that to, the openness?
I think the people are so broken from the wars and the poverty that they're searching for hope. They're looking for something. And that may be true here, too, but people have a lot around them, so in a lot of places to turn for help, whereas in Uganda, they don't. They live in mud huts. They sleep in the dirt. They eat in the dirt. They cook in the dirt. They just don't have anything. And you find that people are just searching for hope, looking for something.
How did you develop a heart for foster care and adoption? We mentioned the number in the opening of how many kids that you've been a foster parent to. How did that start?
That started actually within the first couple months that I was there when I met a little boy named David, who was 5 years old. He had just turned five, actually. And I don't know, my heart just went out. And it might be one of those cases where emotions rule the decision instead of prayer and intelligence, but it turned out to be a real blessing. And God blessed it anyway, I guess you could say. And at that point, I felt that, well, I could be a pretty good mom. I think I can do this. And finding kids like David who were very malnutritious and had worms and had no real hope, and they were living with grandparents who were old and sick, who really couldn't care for them the way they needed to. It just kind of made me open up my home to help some of those children.
I was struck by the impact that the AIDS virus has had on the demographics of Uganda. You touch on it multiple times in your book, which once again is called They Call Me Mama Catherine, How One Woman's Brokenness Became Hope for Uganda's Children. But hearing you mention the situation with so many kids living with their grandparents, can you describe how different the fabric of the demographics of Uganda look because of the impact of AIDS?
Well, maybe it's easiest to do in statistics. The total population of Uganda is between 37 and 38 million people. And 51% of those are estimated to be under the age of 15. And 77% are under the age of 22. That doesn't leave a lot of grown-ups or parents.
Wow.
Then there's this older group that tends to be helping all these children. There's a lot of children with no one really raising them or helping them. You see children raising children because this whole generation has died out. Because of the AIDS virus.
Wow.
And what you see then is nobody helping these kids to understand anything or teaching them anything. The love is not there. The nurturing is not there. Their only hope is Christ and feeling the love from God.
If we could parachute in for a day, so to speak, and observe Heinz Ugandan Ministries at work, what would we see?
Well, it depends on what day you come in. You may find us visiting in their homes and taking some food packages to help the whole extended family that they're staying with, which would consist of like beans and flour, corn flour, and different things that they need, and soap, including soap and things. But you would also find us praying with them or counseling with the kid. You might find us in Awana, where we're sharing the gospel on a regular basis and they're memorizing scriptures. You might find us in Sunday school on Sunday and sharing with the kids again. Or you may find me in my home with my own children, where we have devotions every night. We sing and have devotions, and somebody shares each night. They take turns and we pray.
How many kids do you have at home right now, by the way?
I have 12 in the house.
Amazing. I was struck in the book by the intersection of the things that you do. You serve medical needs, you serve spiritual needs, you serve financial needs. What is the relationship in a way and in a sense between serving holistically in that way? Why is that something that you set out to do?
Well, my desire, or the desire of Heinz Ugandan Ministries, which we shortened to HUM, or HeinzKids.org, we really believe that the best thing we can do for these kids is to try to reach them completely, because they don't have the parents. So we want to see them grow up to be Christian leaders and to make a difference. Now, of course, not all of them will, but very many of them are. So the only way you can do that is through reaching them emotionally, physically, spiritually, and, you know, in helping in all these different areas. Our clinic does treat them when they have medical problems, and it keeps us on top of what's going on with the kid physically. We do have some people who work just with counseling of the kids and talking to them. And then we have, you know, all the different ministry training, spiritual stuff, teaching them of the Bible in particular, and education. We also put a big emphasis on education because that changes the way they think completely. Not as much as the Holy Spirit, but it helps.
Catherine Hines, the author of They Call Me Mama Catherine, How One Woman's Brokenness Became Hope for Uganda's Children. You can visit hineskids.org both to buy the book and encounter the story of her ministry, where you can sponsor a child, help build a school, provide for medical and educational needs, and much more. That's hineskids.org. And thanks so much for being with us today for these stories of hope from both Catherine and Tyler Holte of Peace Together Uganda. I'm Ryan Thomas. We'll talk with you again next weekend on the road.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.